Good morning.
Good morning.
A little bit of snow outside, but it's warm in here, right? Warm in here. So we're continuing, this is week 9 of our series, I believe. I'd remind you, this is the second 13-week series on this topic. And if you have interest in the first 13 weeks, which were a little bit more basic questions, that's available to you as well, both in written form and I made copies of all of the classes, so those are available as well. Reminding you that, well, it looks like this week we're going to talk about the way or one of many ways. Interesting topic to consider a little bit here. And each week we look at scriptures. I would remind you that with the little materials that I have. By the way, does anybody need one of the handouts for this week? If so, then Larry will hand them to you. Thank you, Larry. But on there is a little bit of a study guide, the scriptures that we're going to use. I don't capture every scripture on each topic. I've tried to capture a series of scriptures that give you a start in your study. and then reminding you that really what I'm pushing for is for you to think about what your faith statement is on each of these specific topics so that you kind of work out what your faith statement is. You'll notice in that piece of paper I ask you to date it because I don't know if you're like me and you continue to search, sometimes those faith statements evolve over time, and that's a good thing too as God works in our lives, helps us to understand things we didn't before. So, this week we're talking about the way or one of many ways, and after I offer a prayer here in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to help me think about this and share with me some of your faith statements as we begin the class. So let's pray. Father, this morning we ask for your guidance. We ask for your gift of the Spirit to work among us. Help us, Father, to learn more from your scripture, from each other, as the Spirit moves us. We ask, God, your blessings on today. In Jesus' name, amen. So have you ever had this conversation with somebody? See, I told you it would be Joe's day, didn't I? Yeah. I told Joe when I came in, I said, Joe, you're going to love today.
Yeah. You remember, about 20 years ago,
yeah.
So he finally convinced me that, well, this might not be the only way, it's the best way.
Ah, haha. Yeah, exactly. I understand that. Yeah, Jim.
So you're talking about, have you ever had this conversation? We have this. You know, I always thought of the Jewish people as thinking that theirs was the only way, and, you know, had to follow Judaism, that they were the chosen people, you know, the Jewish. And we went to visit a synagogue one time, and the guy said, no, we think there are many paths to the top of the mountain.
Mm. Do you hear what he just said, many paths to the top of the mountain? Have you heard that theory before? It's interesting, as I was doing a little study on this, there are some folks who believe, you know what, there are many paths to the top of the mountain. And once we get to the top of the mountain, we're going to be able to see how it all fits together. But as we're climbing the mountain, it may be a little bit hard to make that connection of many paths. Interesting. How do you answer people when they say, is Christianity the only way to God? Anne? I think in today's world, it's a very fascinating conversation because of this concept that is very popular right now called tolerance. Yes? You know, it's all about, well, if you have a strong belief, or if you voice a strong belief, for example, that Jesus is the only way, well, you're not being tolerant of other people's views and goals and outcomes. That's like, huh. Yeah, it's a hard conversation to have. John?
I knew a man once, his name was Ray Gilbert. For many years, he wouldn't go to church. And finally, he decided to go to church. He was baptized in the Church of Christ. And this was down in Mississippi. And people would come up to him and say, how do you become a Christian? His, always his answer was, read the Bible.
Yeah. And this has a well. Yeah. Thank you, John. Earl.
And refining of that question, which Christianity is the only way of God?
Exactly. So it even gets a little bit more specific, particularly in our tradition. Right? We've heard the old story, you know, the old joke, right? About St. Peter walking through heaven and, you know, getting to one area saying, shh, be quiet. They think they're the only ones here, you know? You've heard that that story. But this, I think, is a very challenging thing to talk about. And I think it's challenging in today's environment because of one major issue. And here's the major issue. Is there truth? And a lot of times, it's very, very popular today to say, well, all truth is relative. Have you heard that? Your perspective and my perspective, they're just perspectives. So maybe you know, can believe what you believe, but that doesn't mean it's truth. It just means it's your truth. Have you heard that? Yeah, most of us have. Jim?
That does get back to our conversation last week about, you know, when we said, well, I can't believe there's a God that would, whatever. It's, you know, my view of God, your view of God. You know, so, What is the true God?
Yeah. I thought a lot about this recently, and I think it comes down to, I think the reason why we are so conflicted as a people is based on four beliefs. How people believe about God, what people believe about man, what people believe about truth, is there, isn't there, and what people believe about ethics. I think you could take those four things and start to understand this dynamic we've got going across our country and beyond of the anger and frustration and issues, because on those four things, people have very different views and perspectives. Therefore, they act different ways. And some would say, yeah, of course, that's because there's no truth. It's all relative. To that end, you probably heard this old story, right? A lot of people will say, it's like the six blind men that came in contact with an elephant. One guy had a hold of his tail and said, oh, this elephant is actually a rope. And one had... A blind man had connection to the trunk and said, oh, no, it's not a rope, it's a snake. And one that was interacting with the leg, you know, the big, oh, no, it's a tree. The one that was hit kind of came up against the side, so it must be a wall. And the blind man that was interacting and touching the ears, I've heard two different versions here. One was that it was a fan and one that it was a rug, right? And the one that was touching the trunk said, oh, no, it's a spear. And some people say, well, see, this is kind of the way truth is. It's just what piece of truth you've been exposed to. Therefore, it is all relative. Because truthfully, none of these six people were accurate. What do you think about that? There is some logic in this, right? In terms of, I could see how some people could come to a conclusion like this to say, well, it's all about your perspective on life. Question for us is that a biblical answer to Is there one way? Are there many ways, depending on which way you're looking at the elephant? Yeah, Shauna.
Well, the truth is an element. It's not a saint, it's not a spirit, it's not a rug. It's an elephant, and that's the truth. So, you know, when God says he wants everybody to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, and Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me, I guess there's my statement. There's one truth. It's Jesus.
Huh.
What
do you think about what she just said? Yeah, Mick?
I absolutely agree. I think the point of the fable is misinterpreted now. The point of the fable is that these are blind men who are flailing about blind. And there is a truth object in front of them that they are completely missing because they can't see. But as Shauna said, the core fundamental idea is they are still standing in front of it. No matter what they call it, no matter what they think, it's still an
elephant. Here we go. Joe? More or less, we don't know the truth.
Huh?
We don't know, but God's the only one that really knows the truth.
Hmm.
You know, we're just ignorant. We just can't see the truth. We don't know the reason for us. We don't know the reason for hardly anything as far as God's concerned. We don't know why, like we were talking last week. Why would he go through all this stuff? We don't know.
Mm. There's a truth to what Joe just said, right? There is a truth to that. Even Gandhi said, the only one that really understands truth is God. It is God to understand truth. However, I want to make a point, and Shauna made it, and so does the first scripture. Oh, by the way, I just love this. I had to add it here. All truth is relative, he said with absolute certainty. I just love that. That's great. But as Shauna referenced a moment ago, John 14, 5-7 says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't understand where you're going, so how can we know the way? I mean, in a way, he's kind of saying, we don't understand the truth. And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you will know him and have seen him. I want to make the distinction between God knowing truth, or Jesus knowing the truth, and Jesus saying, I am truth. I think that is an amazing and significant difference. Do you understand the point? Right?
It is a significant statement to you, but that's because you believe the Bible.
Well, so it's all about my belief. So if I don't believe it, it's no longer true? Sure. But does that mean if I'm in a different worldview, Jesus is not truth? See, again, if we're going to go by, it's because of your worldview, we're back to relative truth. Right.
I think that was the distinction there.
Sure. I mean, again, but that's the argument I think we find ourselves in. Is someone say, well, Christianity is true to you because that's your worldview. Or is it truth, some of which have found that worldview, some of which have not? It's a different way of thinking. And I think it's a hard thing to understand, particularly today, because everything you hear is, well, it's all relative to your perspective. Earl?
Yeah, and these things can, if you don't consider them all, or look at them all, you can come out with a slanted point of view. Jesus said in your translation here, if you you really know me. And I'm the truth. So, question being then, how much truth, what truth, all truth, do I have to know him? And if it's all truth, then we're all in trouble. If it's less than all truth, how much is it?
But see, I think that, again, is the difference. And that is, Jesus is saying, I am truth. Not within me there is truth. Not that I teach truth, all of which would also be true, I believe. But I am truth. Just like he said, I am the way. It's a hard thing to think about here. I saw a hand, Jim.
Yeah. And it does come down to the question of why does it matter? And for us sitting in this room, we understand why for us it matters, but for others, but for you, why does it matter? Well, this is one of the ways Satan takes the world away from God. Because the outcome of relative truth, when I say everything has the same value, it all depends on you, then there is no, then I've removed value. Everything is the same. And now it's nihilism. Everything is meaningless. There is nothing that means anything. I'm abandoning all hope. There is no God. And so philosophically, you start down this relativistic path, and you end up as far away from God as you ever could be.
And the challenge of this discussion is, are we the ones who decide truth, or is truth decided? And I think the other thing that's kind of embedded in this conversation is not just who's in control of everything. The relative side says, well, it depends on me. Because it depends on me, therefore I get to determine what my view of truth is. Whereas I think, and we're going to look at a couple more scriptures, I think what God is saying is, no, there is truth. You may have different levels of understanding of that truth based on a whole bunch of different things, but there is truth. I mean, it's a little bit, again, like saying, because I'm holding on to the tail of the elephant and I think it's a rope, doesn't mean it's not an elephant.
Yeah.
You know, this yesterday, maybe the day before, I was sitting at lunch talking to one of the officers. We have several police on campus. As you might imagine these days, that's a big job. because there's a lot of stuff going on the college campuses. And he and I were talking actually about guns. You know, he had a gun, and I asked what kind of gun, and we got into this conversation. And it was very quick when he, I don't even know how it came up in the conversation exactly, but he said, look at history. There have been more people killed because of Christianity than there have been killed because of guns. Again, this was his perspective, and you know, and he was referencing the Crusades, he was referencing, you know, all of these kinds of events and all of the anger between the Muslims and the Jews, the Muslims and the Christians throughout history. Jews and the Christians, I mean, we could go on and on with all of this, right? And his framework was, well, you see, therefore, because there were all these wars fought because of God, how would a God allow that to happen, right? And he was going down through this. So the thing I appreciate about John's comment is, yeah, history helps inform us, but history often is also tainted by what we want to put on it. Just because somebody says, I'm going to go fight in Jesus' name, does that mean they're fighting for truth? It's a challenging question here. Mike, and then we'll come back to...
Well, that's just what I was going to say. And I mean, if you look at, and as Heather said, you know, these men are using what they had access to. If we only had access to the natural world, for example, that was the only way you could find out about God, it would be ambiguous. You know, it would be beautiful sometimes. Other times it would be awful and scary and dangerous, you know, and is that what God is like? And we'd be very limited. And history is also an ambiguous teacher, especially looking at human beings, because we make a lot of mistakes, we do wonderful things, and we do awful, horrendous things. And so it can be a mixed bag, you know. And so I think, jumping right, if you were to point somebody to history, they could very quickly come back with all kinds of examples from as what you were just saying.
And it does come back to this idea of truth. A lot of times it does. I think it was Anne's hand, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking there's some things that Joe has said and some of the things that Pearl has echoed. One of the things we have trouble with because we think we're so smart is we need to be humble enough to accept Jesus' words here and the words about salvation found in no one else. And believe that enough that we do what the Bible says. And then we also need to be humble enough that when we're in those conversations with other people, we admit we're still seeking full knowledge of truth. Because God is so much more powerful, so much smarter than we are, that if we don't approach other people with the same humility that we approach studying God's Word with, we certainly will not win them to the We really have to adopt a noble attitude toward God the Father as our Creator and Lord. And then toward our own search and the search that other people are going
through. I appreciate the way you said that, because I really think for Christians, this is one of the bigger challenges of our time. Because unfortunately, a lot of times what happens in the Christian world is that we believe we've found the truth and we're going to beat everybody over the head with it, because we know better than they do what truth is. And candidly, if you give people the benefit of the doubt, which is a big assumption, but people that stand firm for different belief systems, for different issues, pick one, because of Christianity, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because they get the reputation of not being tolerant or loving, but if you take it for... If you believe at least their heart is appropriate, which it may not be, but if it was, then they may actually be trying to help somebody understand truth better, but are being criticized because, well, how could you tell me what truth is? So I come back to the issue of, I really believe a lot of our division and issue is, do people believe there is or is not an absolute truth? Because it is hard to stand. We want to stand for God's truth, and we want to do it in a tolerant and loving way. And sometimes those things seem to battle each other. Does that make sense? Steve?
So, pointing to the recorded history is kind of an interesting thing. And I want to take a slightly different point of view in that, you know, let's set aside the recorded part. So history that we have was written down by men. And men, when they write things, often color them with their own point of view. So, you know, lots of times, they'll find things in history where, you know, some guy may look like a really bad guy, but you might not be the case. It might be tainted by, you know, somebody who didn't like them recording things about them. You know, they recorded the bad stuff. They recorded that they did good stuff, too. Not that they didn't do the bad stuff, but my point is this, that we color things all the time when we talk about it. You know, we point to it in our current, you know, frame of reference. We talk about our witnesses. You know, and anyone who is involved in, you know, criminal or civil or litigation stuff knows that you go to people that witnessed an event, and let's fire in five people who are witnesses, but you get five different stories. Because we see things a little different than each other, we remember things a little different, and we're influenced by our own points of view, our own thinking as to, this is what's important to me because this is my point of view, and so I'll latch on to something and color things a certain way because that's how I think of things. And so when you look at what man has reported, you always have to look at it and say, well, you got to take it with a grain of salt. When you look at what God says, you don't have to. Because it's the same always. And that's one thing about when you look at the Bible. In spite of what some people like to say that he's changed between the Old and the New Testament, he's not. He's 100% consistent. It's always the same from the beginning to the end of Bible, and it just points to the fact that what Jesus said, how accurate it is for him to say, I am the truth, because he's God. And it doesn't change. It is fixed, and what he says is right. So our problem is getting people to accept that.
Yeah, I'm going to play the advocate of the other guy for a moment. And say, yeah, the argument you just made is exactly why so many people say, yeah, the Bible is just biased. Because the people that wrote it down from their point of view, and therefore, because it was in their point of view, it points to a certain truth that was only really true for them. It was, because, you know, hey, it was humans that wrote it down. Again, you get back to the faith-based statement of, do we believe there is truth? And therefore, we can say what Steve did, because of those things we believe of the Bible and the history that was recorded, et cetera, et cetera. This is a faith discussion. This is a deep faith discussion. I think Elon had a hand.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit's always at hand. And the truth about Jesus, he is the way, and you can't get around that because the Holy Spirit is not going to be able to put that in the Bible. You know that Jesus is the way. Way to heaven. You know, I don't think that there's, at the end of history, you could alter maybe biblical because it's the Holy Spirit, everything in Christ is always at hand, always at play in the world.
Yeah.
The joy of salvation.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate him bringing up the Spirit because I believe, my statement of faith here, I believe that it is the Spirit that helps us get to a place of saying, there is truth, therefore I will act this way. Right? And without the Spirit, I'm not sure we could understand the truth in that way. I mean, again, I've said this as long as I've been teaching, that because of the Spirit, we understand things differently. And I think one of the things we understand differently is Jesus is truth. Not that the stories about Jesus were true. Jesus is truth. And that, I think, is a tough distinction, but an important one from a faith perspective for us to think about. Earl?
Yeah, and
the words he asked are, if you really know me. Doesn't mean, cannot mean, must not ever be interpreted to mean, I know all of the truth. I have it all. I am the epitome of truth. I've got it. It's here. And so statements that I've seen heard from pulpits, well, you know, we have the truth, are so off base, at least in words, perhaps. We have the truth. So does everybody, in any sense that I have it, have the truth. But if I know him, that is a different perspective. I'm not talking about what I know. I'm talking about what I have in a relationship with him. If I know him, then I will know the Father as well. From now on, that's marking time. Jesus marking time. You disciples, right here, do know him. You do have a relationship where you and he are bound in a relationship bond and have seen him. He is identifying himself as the Father. And so you've locked it in, that familiarity of knowing God through what you have now with me. I am God. And so that's a knowing that amounts to the way two people know each other, even in a marriage or any other way we know each other without knowing everything about each other. I know less about Gene. I'd like to know some things about Gene I don't know and can't know, especially as it relates to her health these days. I don't know much about her. I don't know much about God. I don't know. But I know him. I believe that. That's my statement of faith.
What happens when you know the truth? It will set you free. That is also a fascinating thing to think about. How could truth set us free? How does truth set us free? I believe the way truth sets us free is what we were talking about before, in terms of when I base truth on what I think truth is, that's a burden I don't want to bear. But when I understand there is truth, there's a freedom in that. Mike?
Jan Swenson made the point one time, and he was spot on. He said that none of us know our birthday. We really don't know it. I mean, we weren't cognizant enough on that day to know I was just born. What you know is what you've been told by people that you trust. And that's getting back to what Earl is alluding to here. You know, you develop a relationship, a trust, as you come to know who God is. You begin to trust his words, and you connect that and say, okay, I can accept that, you know, as the truth. I can get that because of my trust in him. And I trust my parents. I know that I'm a legitimate child, born on July 29th, 1977. That's just because you have that relationship. And you no longer question that. You don't walk through life pondering and wondering, oh, what's my real birthday? Because I really don't have all the proof I need to know for sure. No, you don't operate that way. You simply move through life in trust, and that's what Jesus is asking for here.
Let's look at a thank you. Let's look at a couple of the other scriptures here. Acts 4 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note these men had been with Jesus. Huh. Salvation is found in no one else. Do other religions say the same thing? I found a really good summary by a man named Mark Pickering and men named Mark Pickering and Peter Saunders, and they were talking about this multi-faith society, if you also include no faith as a faith. And I will tell you that a lot of people say that is not faith to be an atheist. I say no. Yeah. It's the same kind of faith statement as it is to say I do believe to say I don't believe, because you base it on some kind of logic and conclusion. But they're talking about this, and they address this issue that surely all religions are really the same underneath. You heard that? You know, that, you know, they're all kind of trying to do the same thing, and therefore, right? Is that true? Diane?
Well, on 9/11, when those planes hit that building, scriptures, and it's his opinion that that we can recognize the spirit of truth and recognize the spirit. We can know it if we acknowledge that Jesus Christ came in the flesh.
So again, some may argue that all things underneath are the same, but there are some things that are unique about Jesus and about Christianity. I mean, first of all, the deity of Christ himself. Only Christianity suggests that Christ was God. Yeah, others recognize Jesus as a prophet, as a great teacher, as a good man, but only Christianity says he was deity. Was that the hand, Ruth?
Yeah. Well, I understand what Diane was saying. I think that was the extremist part of the Islamic religion that did that, and I disagree with it totally, because there are Islamic believers in our country that said that that was wrong. We have extreme Christians who do wrong things in our country too. So I think we have to be careful when we say, you know, how we look at those things. Because that was extreme and called wrong wrong. What I'm sitting here thinking of, what I looked up on my phone is, you know, comparing Islam to Christianity. You can have an Islamic study group sitting here saying all the same things that we're saying. I see my family, I can look around. They're saying everything, the same thing that we're saying, that everything we believe in the Quran, it's all truth, and the differences. So I'm trying to figure out, and it's got to be beyond just what the words and just so it is faith. Our faith. Is it just end there? Is it just my faith? Does God just reveal to me? Because obviously it's almost going to look, next to Christianity. We're just facing the world right now. So it's appealing to a lot of people worldwide.
Yeah.
So the same thing.
Again, let's go back to how is Christianity different? Because to her point, I'll get to you in a second. To her point, other people may have the same kind of things. Where did Christianity originate? Who was the man that Christianity goes back to? Well, Jesus, but then before Jesus, all the way back to Abraham, right? And where does Islam begin? All the way back to Abraham. Where does Judaism go? All the way back to Abraham. It's a fascinating thing, but I'm going to remind you that Christianity is the only religion that says Jesus Christ was God. Secondly, the authority of the Word of God is the other thing that is different. Some may say the Quran has that authority. Christianity says that only Christianity says that the Bible, including the Old and New in this context, both. The third piece that only Christianity says is salvation is by grace through faith. That's a difference as well in Christianity versus what you do, how you do it. Therefore, you're going to be reincarnated to a different type of life. You're going, it is a different concept and mindset. It appears that the kids, is this right? This clock, right? Seems like the kids are out already. Okay. So again, we got a lot to think about. Let me share a couple other quick scriptures here because I still have 5 minutes. I don't know why the kids are out yet. That's why. Jim?
Well, so one of the things we're touching on here, there's two parts. One is communicating with others what I believe. The other aspect of it is how do I bring others to that? When Paul stood up and said, this is what I believe, he was very firm and said, this is what I believe. When he was working on the other side, there is truth in other religions. Muslims believe there is one God. We're the same way. And so when you want to have that conversation and try to bring that over to your statement, we need to latch on to what's common, not what's different.
Yeah.
And start there.
Yeah, that's what these guys also suggested, is that there are some things that are common, that are a place to start. Let's look at a couple other quick scriptures, please. 1 Timothy 2:3-7. It's good and pleasing God our Father, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Now, this has now been witnessed to at the proper time, and for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Again, look at a couple others here quickly. This is John 3:16. You know this scripture, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Down in verse 35, it says, the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whosoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. You see, here's the challenge. That's a hard statement. That drives us to certain actions. If we honestly believe this, then what kind of behavior would that drive for us? Out teaching other people, this is a risk you are under, because if you don't believe, here's an impact. But that's seen as intolerant. And again, I'm the first to say, I think a lot of people who stand up in the name of Christianity are intolerant and are not teaching truth. But to teach truth is challenging in today. It's always been challenging. In this context, look at a couple others real quick. John 5, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I mean, that has a implication for our lives and for our issues as we think about this. Revelation 5, and I saw the Lamb. This one challenges me, I got to tell you, and that's why I put it in here. I saw a Lamb looking as if he had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. I have no idea what that means. And I've heard people say, well, maybe that's Mohammed and Buddha, and I don't know what this means. And we don't, unfortunately, have a lot of time to talk about it. But I put it in here purposely to say, here, for some reason, we are being shared that there were seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Thought there was one spirit of God. You know, so I think as we wrestle through this statement.
So what I'm hearing you say is,
No, we're moving on. We're moving on. Again, as I said from the beginning, none of these classes are easy. But here's my assignment to you. Study this week. Work out your own statement of faith around this. Think about this hard. Think about why this is important to you. Why it's important to other people. And I appreciate the perspective of somebody saying, it's one thing for me to understand truth and make my decisions about truth. It's something else to say, how do I share that truth? And I don't think they have to be incongruent. So in other words, I don't think because I stand for truth, I have to be evil, mean, and nasty about how I communicate that truth. But we're in a society right now that if you don't have that bumper sticker that says coexist, you know what I'm talking about? That has all the different, then you must be intolerant and therefore evil. Ironically, if we stand for truth, it calls us to a certain behavior. This is a hard thing, I think, and the reason why we put it in here. Let's have a word of prayer at the end of class. Thank you for your patience in this discussion. Father and Lord, as we come before you, The first thing we need to say is we recognize you as true. We recognize your Son as truth. Thank you, Father, that through your Spirit you help us see truth. Father, help us learn how to share your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, folks. Sorry for those that I didn't get the call on at the end here.